Thank you for joining Asia's best radio station.
Download latest podcasts of Carry On Harry Show on iTunes.
Now shake hands with celebrities on Singapore talk show, Carry On Harry.
Inviting music composers, producers, artists on board on Carry On Harry talk show for connecting you to worldwide audience. Write to Harry Johal at carryonharry.com or visit www.carryonharry.com for more details.
Hi friends, welcome to yet another episode of Carry On Harry Talk Show with the talk show host Harry Johal. Today we are going to invite speaker, author, actress Gareth Foster on our talk show. She exemplifies the best traits of a new millennium woman, and we are going to get a lot of insightful talks about how to deal with life, how to meet up the challenges of life, what attitude we should have to face up all those challenges. And apart from that, we'll also try to find out what has been the root cause of her success, that she has diversified herself into so many fields, starting from acting to writing books, having speaking engagement as a motivational speaker, and what are her future dreams, what are the things that she really wants to achieve in life, and how she takes up day-to-day life. A lot of things that I am having in my mind right before starting talks with her, and I hope that I'll be getting some wonderful tips from her. So let's get in connection with her and get to know more about Gareth Foster on our show, Carry On Harry.
Hello.
Hi, Miss Gareth. This is Harry calling from Singapore.
Hi, good morning.
Very good morning to
or
you.
Evening.
Yeah, it's evening at my end, but I know that it's quite early morning over there at your end. And, so I just wish you, a very good morning. And I'm really excited that you are today here on my show and we are going to have some good chat.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yes, Miss Gareth, I was a while ago, browsing through your website, and the basic common element that I found in your, teaching programs, your performances as a performer and, as a keynote speaker, what I found is that, the word laugh plays a very, very important role in your life. So tell me, where does, this kind of energy come within you that you can, find so much of happiness, around and also influence other people, to feel happy about whatever you do?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. It's just important to me. I mean, we're only on this planet for a short time, So why not enjoy ourselves? Why not enjoy each other and make it the best possible place for everybody to get along that we can?
Correct. So this attitude that you possess, is it like your inborn, that was blessed upon you, or, on the way of the life journey, you really, learned few things, how to induce, the term happiness in our life, even if we are facing, those tough situations sometimes?
I think it's a combination of both, honestly. I think who you are is who you are innately, but people always have the opportunity to change. Mm-hmm. And for me, having different life experiences from, being a sick kid growing up to just, having different exposures to people and seeing how different people live, some who had a lot more than I did, some who are a lot less fortunate, I was able to basically just get an idea of, how vastly different our lives may seem on the outside, but I had the understanding that everybody is the same on the inside. We all want respect. We all want to be accepted. We all want love, and we all want to laugh and feel good.
Absolutely right. Because laughter and staying happy is such a wonderful energy that I feel that, those people are really blessed who have this kind of potential like your one, who can not just stay happy themselves, but they can also make other people happy. Especially, when I think about you as an actress, as a radio personality, I did view a couple of videos of yourself, the way you are touching the humor, it's just like, coming out of you means that energy is tremendous energy. So tell me, what is your, procedure of, you know, touching the stage before you really go in for your any kind of those kind of performances as an actress or as a radio personality?
Well, you know, it's almost like how I was just hoping that we were able to connect properly this morning, because I think I'd given you the wrong phone number initially. But you set the intention. You know, you set the intention that it's all going to be great.
Good.
You visualize it going well.
Wow.
You think about it. I'm one heck of a manifester. Like, I decided I wanted to be married and have a couple kids by a certain age. I ticked that age number out. I made it by 48 hours.
Wow.
I had my second baby 2 days before my birthday. So, yeah, sometimes it's a little late. I procrastinate, but it always happens. And I think that's what people have to do in life is, you know, decide what they want to happen. Everyone thinks that we're stuck or we're trapped or that there's no, you know, way to maybe get what they want, because they've either been told or they've played that trick in their own mind.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can create that mind shift, and that's, you know, something I've had to do. I mean, I don't think that totally comes naturally. I think it's like going to the gym. It's something you have to exercise on a regular basis.
Mm. Correct. Ms. Gareth, if I look at your portfolio, you are a humorist, you are a speaker, you are a TV personality, radio personality, actress, mother, author, entrepreneur, wife. You know, there are so many, you know, dimensions, you know, which are associated with you. Which dimension was it, you know, from where your actual, you know, professional life journey really began? How was it like, you know, for you in your earlier days? What was your ultimate ambition that you wanted to, you know, be something, and then out of which, you know, all these different, you know, things have really, you know, come up, and it has come up in such a way that it has become like a tree, you know, which is giving shade of happiness to everyone. I want to know your beginning, you know, what was your initial ambitions, you know, in earlier days?
Sure. Well, I went to school, I went to university to become a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a reporter and a news anchor because I thought they were really smart and they knew everything that was going on in the world and they made people think. You know, they were you know, educators, because I just, you know, I thought that's a larger platform than a teacher. You know, a teacher has just one classroom, but news people, they have the whole world, you know? And then I realized you don't get to necessarily tell the truth in news. You know, there are limitations as far as what the networks allow and what sponsors allow. You know, it's a business like anything else.
Good.
And I found comedy, or rather it found me, and you know, there are no mistakes. And I started doing stand up, and my first time on stage, I was like, oh my gosh, what is this?
Wow.
I've never experienced anything like it. To you know, get people to laugh at stuff I thought was funny too. You know, it was fantastic, but I also saw it as a way to get people to think, you know, and so that has become a vehicle for so many things, from, you know, going into acting and using my comedic skills, and going into radio, and then the speaking, because I find that if you can get people to laugh about something, mm-hmm. you can maybe break down the wall a little bit, especially if it's a sensitive topic, and then you can get them to think about it, and then if people think about something, hopefully then they act. So that's, you know, comedy has become, it was like my lifeline and my lifeblood for the longest time, and I've never really experimented with any kind of, you know, drugs or anything, but I can't imagine a greater high than doing what I do when I get on stage.
Correct. Ms. Karen, you know, normally people, you know, always say that, you know, doing comedy is, you know, the most toughest form of acting. There are, you know, people who are very good at, you know, standalone comedy on the stage, but then there are also actors who are very good, you know, on the written lines, you know, like a scene written, and then they emote on those lines, you know, and the comedy just comes out. For you, how do you see comedy when it comes to, you know, working on a scripted comedy and working on a non-scripted comedy?
Oh, goodness. I think it's different for each person, but I certainly believe that comedy is probably the most vulnerable art form that exists,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, when you're on stage like that, it's all you. for complete acceptance or complete rejection. It is your face, your voice, your body, your words. You know, with other performers, they are either on stage with someone else, even improv comedy, or they're in a band, or if they're singing, it may be singing someone else's words. They've got a song or music. So the comedy is, you know, I think it's been one of the longest running tools, like I said, to kind of get people to think and even speak out politically about things. I mean, Shakespeare even did it back in a time where if you accused the king of any kind of wrongdoing, you'd be tried for treason. Mm-hmm. You know, so comedy has been around for centuries, being used as a tool for many people to do different things. But, you know, I appreciate anybody who can be funny. Because if you can make the world a better place by bringing laughter to it, then you're doing a great job. Whether it's on TV, it's on stage, it's in a movie.
Correct. I'm getting you there. Okay. You see, like, when I am, you know, I was viewing, you know, some of your speaking engagement videos, I found that you have, you know, incorporated your skills of, you know, on stage, you know, those comic things into also your teachings, like the programs that you'd normally conduct, like the Stereotype 101 or You Are Enough or Laughter mm-hmm. Boot Camp or mm-hmm. You Can Be Perfect or You Can Be Happy. Mm-hmm. How does that, you know, really helps you to, you know, get your point across to the audience, you know, without them, you know, getting diverted toward the entertainment side and, you know, still getting what you really want to convey through that particular presentation?
Well, absolutely. Like I said, you know, comedy is a really wonderful way to get people to maybe uptight about something or may not be ready, receptive to hear a message, to loosen up. And so, you know, all of the things that I do, while there are different programs, all include humor, because I want everybody who I talk to have fun. Life is too short not to have fun. If you're going to see me, you're going to laugh, you're going to enjoy yourself, and you're going to leave feeling good. And so, you know, the Stereotype 101 program I have is a diversity program. And sometimes people roll their eyes, they're like, oh, the world is diverse enough, we don't have any problems. But the fact of the matter is, you know, diversity is about a lot more than just someone's skin color. It's about, you know, their background, their socioeconomic status. And the world is a very diverse place. You know, in America, we're having some issues with, even though it's a multicultural environment, with people still not fully accepting other people for who they are, be it based on their you know, their sexuality or their gender or, you know, their religion. It makes no sense. It's laughable, which is why I think it's so appropriate to use comedy to discuss it. But my favorite, you know, one of my favorite programs is also with it's in conjunction with a book that will be out in the spring called You Can Be Perfect or You Can Be Happy. Because the idea is, you know, perfection is unattainable. You know, we all think that we should be perfect, and I don't know where that comes from. Somehow, when we're little, it gets implanted in us. And we carry that on to adulthood, when the reality is, if you're always looking to be perfect, you're just going to be miserable. Because nobody's perfect and nothing is perfect. We can absolutely strive to be our best, as you should, in whatever, you know, being your career, being a parent, being a human being. But the reality is, if you're trying to be perfect, something that we only see in movies and TV, which as we know are very heavily edited and made up, then you're not going to be living your fullest life.
Absolutely right. And here I would like to inform my listeners that right now we are talking to Kareth Foster, and please do make a visit to kareth.com and you will find some wonderful videos which are not just educating and entertaining, but they have the personality that is talking to us today. And I'm really feeling quite, you know, charged up, you know, when I'm listening to your story. Miss Kareth, you earlier mentioned that you started your career as an actress, and, you know, from there, you know, the other things really happened. So speaking engagement is one of them. At what stage did you decide that, you know, that you will be, you know, doing all the speaking engagement? And what was the basic objective with which you really started? What was the, you know, the thing that, you know, triggered this thing in your mind that you want to, you know, incorporate speaking engagements for other people to help them, you know, realize the importance of you know, personal development? Could you please give me your, you know, insight about this aspect of your personality?
Sure. I mean, well, I honestly, I've been speaking, public speaking, since I was about 12 years old. So that's a couple of decades. But, you know, professionally, I was doing stand-up comedy for 10 years or so. And I saw it, again, I saw it as this vehicle to be more influential. You know, while it is a wonderful time going to a comedy club and making people laugh, if I can do the same thing, but also make people, you know, get a message that they are worthy and they are valuable, and so they can take a lot more away from them than just a couple laughs, then that was kind of key for me. And I'll never forget, I had an instance where there was a woman who came up to me after a comedy show, me and a couple other women, and it was an all-female comedy show. And other people were coming up saying, "Oh, you're so great, you're so funny," and we, you know, we assumed she was going to say the same thing. And the first words out of her mouth were, "My son was killed 6 months ago." Okay. And, you know, we gasped, and she said, "And I just want to let you know that tonight was the first time I've laughed since. Thank you."
Wow.
And, you know, that's when it was like 100% validated for me that I was doing the right thing, and I knew what a powerful thing laughter was. And so, you know, that was one of the things I think that influenced me. And then about 5 years ago, there was an incident in New Jersey, in the United States, at a university, where a young man was outed, essentially called out for being gay by his roommate and some other peers, and they put it online. And he basically shared his personal information that he wasn't ready to share with the world, and he took his own life. He killed himself. He jumped off of a bridge. And I remember thinking that in 2010, nobody should feel that alone because of who they are, based on whatever their skin color, their ethnicity, their sexuality. Like, we should all be able to be okay with who we are. We should be self-accepting, and we should be accepting other people. So that's where Stereotypes 101 was developed, the Humorous Diversity Program. And because it is kind of a heavy subject, you know, it's kind of deep, and it makes people uncomfortable sometimes. You have to use humor, I think, to kind of break the ice, you know? So that's really where it all, you know, I mean, it's been culminating my entire life, you know, always getting to this point. And every career move, every, you know, time I've done, you know, a radio show, or I've had an opportunity to be on TV, it's all just kind of led up. It keeps, like, it's building like a snowball, you know, this wonderful comedy presenting, speaking snowball that's ready for the world.
Correct. Miss Gareth, you see, like on my show, you know, personalities like you who are very successful, who have, you know, done something great and worthwhile in their life, and they are also adding value to the life of other people, they normally, you know, they do come, they share their success story. But then, you see, there are some sort of, you know, listeners, they are always having some critical, you know, viewpoints in their mind. And I want, my next question is definitely, you know, to silence those critics, you know, who sometimes, you know, listen to this such, you know, motivational, you know, and interviews and talks where, you know, a celebrity is telling, like, you know, sharing the success story. But at the same time, the critics will always say, "Oh, these people are influential, they have got money, they have power, they can be happy through all those things." But, you know, my next question is directed in this way to you, that, you know, even every successful person, you know, somewhere, you know, they have some moments, you know, where they sometimes feel low. For your side, you know, be it connected to any field, what is the normal, you know, procedure that you adopt, you know, to bring back your energy from that, you know, lower energy to back to your positive self? Do you what are the tools that you normally, you know, bring forth, you know, to get into that groove where you are, what you are talking right now, and coming out of somewhere, you know, which is very personal to Kareth Foster, you know, when she has got an upset mood or some, you know, negative energy is around. What methodology do you really adopt?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Everybody has highs and lows. Every single person, even the people who, you know, talk the good talk like I do. And, you know, quite honestly, it's very hard for me to find time these days, you know, as a mom with a couple of little babies. I have a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old to make time for myself. But that's really important, you know. Doing yoga is one of my favorite things, meditating and laughing. I'll be honest, laughing is, I know it's kind of been the theme of the conversation, but it's so cathartic and it's so healing. And, you know, people get upset when they get in the lows and they think, oh, this is terrible, I'm never going to get out. And I'll never forget once seeing a cardiologist speak, and he said, you know, when you're looking at an EKG or something, you see the lines, you know, going up and down like a heartbeat. It's like, you know, while it sucks being down low, and sometimes it's great being up high, you have to have both. You have to have that up and down. You have to, because if you've got that flat line, guess what? You're dead.
Absolutely right.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you have that flat line and things are always the same, like you may not physically be dead, but you're stagnant and you're not moving anywhere. So, you know, you have to be okay with the ups and the downs, because you're not going to stay down forever.
You're absolutely right. And I think, you know, this question was very important to silence those critics who normally, you know, have a very negative attitude, or, you know, associating the success with, you know, power. It's not just the power which has made a person successful. A lot of efforts have been done, and every powerful person somewhere is a human being. And I wanted to, you know, dig from yourself, you know, how does Kareth Foster, as a normal human being, you know, take up life challenges, and, you know, what is the way that, you know, she comes back once back into her groove. Like you mentioned, laughter is the best way, you know, to get back into, you know, that particular frame of mind. And I think this could be the reason why you have also authored a book called 101 Ways to Have a Great Laugh. So tell me a little bit about, you know, what is this book all about, and what are the readers, you know, getting out of this book?
Sure. Well, I think one of the things that you touched on is if people forget to laugh, people forget to have a good time. People sometimes think when we become adults, when we become 18 or over, that we're not allowed to have fun anymore. You know, it's like, I'm an adult. I have to be serious. I have to go to work. I have to pay my bills. And life sucks. That's not true at all. In fact, you know, you're free. You're an adult. You can do what you want to do. You can eat ice cream for dinner, you know? So I created something called Laughter Boot Camp, which is me teaching people how to laugh again, how to look at life situations and make fun of them, how to look at what's going on in your life, even the bad stuff, and find a way to find humor so that it's easier to digest. And Laugh Your Way to Happiness, 101 Ways to Have a Great Laugh, is a book that's kind of a workbook that accompanies it. And it's basically 101 ways that you can find ways to get your giggle on, to find something funny, so that you can bring laughter and joy and humor back into your life. Because when you do that, I guarantee your days will be brighter, you'll be healthier physically and mentally. I mean, the benefits of laughter are ridiculous. I mean, it gets your blood flowing, it improves your organs, your stomach. If you laugh really hard, that's equal for a while, that's equal of doing several sit-ups. I mean, you come to one of my shows, you don't even have to go to the gym and not feel guilty about it.
Correct. Apart from writing this book, 101 Ways to Have a Great Laugh, are you currently also working on some other writing assignment?
I am. The book I mentioned earlier, You Can Be Perfect or You Can Be Happy.
Okay. So, Miss Kareth, anything, you know, we have touched your speaking engagement side, your acting, side of your personality, your book writing, your personal way of emerging over the, you know, some, you know, moments which are not so, you know, welcome in anybody's life. Any area that you would like to, you know, give a message to my listeners so that, you know, somewhere if somebody is feeling, you know, negative or want to, you know, do something, if any, you know, tips that you would love to give to the listeners, it would be a great, you know, honor getting those tips from you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you for the opportunity to share. I have to say that a lot of comedy comes from pain, and most comics know that. I don't think a lot of people in the general public do, but every comedian knows that something that hurts you, something that makes you feel bad, you have to find a way to laugh at it to get through it. So, you know, tough times don't last forever. It may seem like it at the time. It may seem like, you know, people are kicking you when you're down. But you have to understand that it's temporary. It's temporary. And you always have an opportunity to get back up. And usually that opportunity starts with you deciding that you're going to get back up and not let anything keep you down and keep you from your goals and your dreams. Because it really is ultimately up to you. You're the only person who can say no. So if you want something, go for it. And I find that when I decide on something, the universe, God, provides a way for it to come into my life. I just have to be open and receptive to seeing the signs.
Any goals that you have in your mind for next 5 years that, you know, you want to, you know, put up like a personal challenge for your own self that you want to, you know, reach that particular, you know, point? Anything like that, or you just take the life as it comes and, you know, keep on building upon those, you know, small steps that you take, and, you know, they ultimately end up influencing others in such a way that they feel so much, you know, motivated through your personality and your performances as a performer or as a speaker or as a writer. How do you see to this aspect?
All right. I absolutely have goals. You know, one of them is to come to Singapore and actually, wow, you know, do a speaking conference there. I would love to come over and to do comedy and to do workshops. I think that, you know, the message is worldwide and universal. And, you know, so, you know, to travel the world doing what I do, doing what I love is definitely in my plans. I mean, I'm doing it now, but to take it to a grander scale is, you know, definitely something that I would love to have happen.
Correct. And we would definitely love to see you, you know, touching Southeast Asia with your, you know, strong personality as an influencer who brings so much of energy to the audience through your performances, and we would love to see you. But today it was, you know, really a great honor for me, you know, getting in touch with you and, you know, getting your viewpoints about various aspects of life, about your, you know, passion to delight others through your work. In a way, it was quite insightful for me to get a few tips, you know, how to take up the life.
Well, thank you, Harry.
I'm very much sure that a lot of people who will be listening to this show worldwide, they will somewhere, you know, agree with us that there is a way of, you know, dealing with the odds of life, and personalities like you can really make a lot of difference. So I don't know how to, you know, end up my you know, show, but I just leave it to you, whatever way you want to finish it up.
I just want to say thank you. And I think, you know, saying thank you and expressing gratitude is a wonderful way to end things. You know, it's basically sending the message out to the universe that you want more of it. So that means maybe you'll have more of me soon.
Great. God is so kind, and you are so motivating, and I really feel, you know, very indebted that you have, you know, shared your those finishing words with the word thank you, which definitely means a lot to me, and it means a lot to everyone in this world, because we have been blessed with so many things that if we begin to, you know, count actually how many blessings we have, I think we can leave all the negative things aside. So anyway, Ms. Kel, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your knowledge with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And anyone can reach me at Karith.com, like you said, and I'm on Twitter, Karith Foster, and it's K-A-R-I-T-H. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you for being in tune with Best Talk Show, Carry On Harry, with entertainment editor Harry Johal. on balabalaradio.co.uk. Inviting music composers, producers, artists on board on Carry On Harry Talk Show for connecting you to worldwide audience. Write to Harry Johal at carryonharry.com or visit www.carryonharry.com for more details.